Well, what we're going to look at tonight is something that we're all very familiar with. But instead of just talking about it, we're going to go to God's Word and see what He says about it and others. And like Dr. Wirewell once said, the Word, and nothing but the Word. Amen?
Amen.
So let me start by just simply saying, praying, oh, what a connection we have. There are many facets to a godly lifestyle. And one of them is considered the backbone of a believer's life, and that is praying. That's the backbone of our life, praying. We did it right now. We do it throughout fellowships. We do it when we're by ourselves. We do it when we're with the family of God, and that is praying. Which brings me to the title of tonight's sharing, and that is Prayer Moves God's Mighty Hand. Prayer moves God's mighty hand. And that's the only kind of hand the Father has. Our theme verse, as you see up on the screen here, is Jeremiah 29:12. Then shall you call upon me, speaking of God, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. Here God is speaking to the people when in captivity. He hears their prayers and answers them, if you read the record. So I thought it would be appropriate for a theme verse, Jeremiah 29:12. When we pray, we are praying to the very Creator who created the heavens and the earth we stand on. God has given us such wonderful things as the animal kingdom, Zeus and all the other animals, to enjoy. And all of our beautiful surroundings, all of the beautiful surroundings for our enjoyment. An example that I've mentioned before is when I'm going to work as of late in the mornings, the sun is coming up, I'm going east on 52, part of the way, and all I see is this pink-orange sunrise, and it is stunning. To the point where I've actually pulled over on the side of the road, sweetheart, I'm not driving, and I've taken photographs with my cell phone. So that I can enjoy them later. And I've shown you some of them. And they are simply stunning. And that's our mighty God and His artistic ways of blessing us. He could have just turned on a light, okay, the day started, and turned it off when the night comes. No, He's given us these beautiful and gorgeous sunrises, and at night, the wonderful stars in heavens that we can look at. So you can see that all this is for our pleasure and benefit. Our amazing God that we call on with our whole heart is our Abba Father. And not only hears our prayers, but again, He answers them perfectly. Use your hindsight, if you will, and think about some of the prayers God answered in your lives. Could it have been any better? I don't think so. And some of the answers to your prayers, man could have not answered them anyway. Because they were miracles from our Father. Now allow me to give you a mind picture. I love mind pictures because it helps you put things in perspective, if you will. Some people say, and they wonder, what does God look like? I've heard people say, what does God look like? Well, we know that God is Spirit, okay? And that Jesus Christ has given us this Holy Spirit through His life, and Him being raised from the dead. Now we have that Holy Spirit created in the image of who? God. So now the mind picture. If God had a physical body, it would be so, S-O-O-O-O, so big that when we would look up at Him, our eyes would only be able to see a very small part of Him. That's how big God would be. Now, if He, God, were to pick us up into His arms, then He would probably use tweezers or chopsticks. That's how big He is. And that's how small we would be compared to Him. And if His love was physically visible, then, like the heavens above, we would only be able to see some of the stars, hence some of His immeasurable love. That's how big it is. As it says in Psalms, 104:8. If we can turn there, we can just take a peek at that. Psalms 108:4. I'll be doing the NLT and King James back and forth.
Psalms
108. Yes, Psalms 108 and verse 4. Psalms 108:4 reads, "For your unfailing love." What does that mean, unfailing love? That it never fails. Speaking of God, is higher than the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches into the clouds. If that's not a mind picture, if that's not a way to look at it, I don't know what is. But that's how big and that's how great God's love is. Prayer is the path to God's heart, simply put. Prayer is the path to God's heart. God wants to hear from his beloved children, you and I, whether it's for a brother or a sister, or it's for direction in our lives. We all need directions from time to time. I do every day. Maybe for a need we need help with. Does anyone in this room, have you ever had a need that you needed help with? Of course, of course. Well, where do you start is a logical question. With God, with God. Don't go to the internet. Don't ask your friend who supposedly knows it all, but go to God first. Father, I need help with this situation. What do I do? Talk to my spirit. Talk to my heart. How about asking his will, or asking what his will is for that day? Father, what would you have me to do for you or your people this day? For tomorrow is not here. Yesterday has passed. That's a very, very wonderful thing to ask the Father when you pray. Jesus made praying a priority in his life. Jesus made praying a priority in his life. And something that he believed strongly and faithfully in, Jesus Christ. Whether it was for the Father's help in a situation, example given, the adulterous woman. If you remember that record, Jesus paused from time to time to just scribble in the sand. He was going to his Father. He wasn't just blurting out an answer, and his answer was perfect. Before you know it, everyone who was accusing her, who wanted to stone her, left. And he told her to leave and sin no more. This is what the Father, we believe, gave him in his heart, because Jesus prayed to the Father. Or just praying together with someone. Jesus Christ did that quite a bit, quite a bit. Jesus also taught his disciples how to pray. If there's a language God understands clearly, it's speaking in tongues or praying with our understanding. You decide which way you want to go. If you don't know what to pray about or you can't figure out how to put it in words, speak in tongues. God knows your heart. He's looking and hearing your spirit. God knows the desire on your heart, and he wants to answer it the best way, and that's what he does. So, I want to read what the Apostle Paul says to the Thessalonians about praying. And for this, I would ask you all to go to 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Some of the verses that we look at tonight may be familiar, but again, I don't want to just say things that sounds good. I want to go to God's Word and see what it says. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, "Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning" who? You. It wasn't concerning the giraffes or the eagles in the sky. It was concerning you and I. You and I. This is his will. And to understand that, you go to his word and read his love letter. So if we are to pray like it says, what we just read, then it's only natural that we follow exhortations as we find in a verse that's familiar. But let's go there anyway. Philippians chapter 4. And verse 6. We've seen this verse time and time again, but God keeps it in there and it's not going to change. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by what?
Prayer.
prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Unto God. So God is exhorting us in this verse, and we want to follow his lead. Now, what about how faithful are we when it comes to praying? Do you pray on a day where everything is going great? Oh, man, I got to pray about this. Well, what about when it's not going great? We've all had those days. Those of us who are working, we're exposed to more of those kind of days. But nonetheless, we still pray. And in fact, matter of fact, those days are the days I pray even harder and more fervently to get help in these situations. Not just for me. Look on the interests of others. Of others. They have needs that are strongly held in their hearts. Last week, a good friend of mine, some of you have met him, his name is Derek, I'm walking, I don't even see him, and I hear, "Al, can we pray?" Before I even look and see who it is, and I know his voice, I just said, "Sure." So we go over there, put our arms around each other, and we pray. Right in the middle of everywhere. You know, anybody could see us, it doesn't matter. But where is our heart at? And how faithful are we when it comes to praying? So Derek and I spend time praying. And then when we're done, we both said, "Amen. Have a great rest of this day." And you know what? It puts a smile on my heart to know that at least there's one person, there's others, that cares enough about everything that's going on at work. And there's a lot of stuff that we need to take care of and do. But first, to pray for God's help. There's nothing more important than that. There's nothing wiser than doing that. And it's not just at work. It's at home when you're by yourself. So, with this in mind, let's look at a couple of examples. And to see this, please go to Luke chapter 18. I'm going to do this out of the NLT, if you don't mind. Luke 18. And when you get to Luke 18, go to verse 1. One day, Jesus told his disciples a story to show that they should always pray and never give up. There was a judge in a city, in a certain city, he said, Jesus is saying, who neither feared God nor cared about people. What a guy. A widow of that city came to him repeatedly. In other words, over and over again, saying, give me justice in this dispute with my enemy. The judge ignored her for a while, but finally he said to himself, I don't fear God or care about people, we know this, but this woman is driving me crazy. I'm going to see that she gets justice because she is wearing me out with her constant requests. Can we wear God out with prayers? No. Matter of fact, he loves that. Then the Lord said, learn a lesson from this unjust judge. Even he rendered a just decision in the end. So don't you think God will surely give justice to his chosen people who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? The answer is no. No, it's rhetorical. I tell you, he will grant justice to them quickly. But when the Son of Man returns, how many will he find on the earth who have faith? Then Jesus told this story to some who had great confidence in their own righteousness. He scorned everyone else. Two men went to the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee, and the other was a despised tax collector. Judy, you know about those kind of people? Verse 11, the Pharisee stood by himself and prayed this prayer. I thank you, God, that I am not a sinner like everyone else, for I don't cheat, I don't sin, and I don't commit adultery, and I am certainly not like that tax collector. Verse 12, I fast twice a week, and I give you a tenth of my income. But the tax collector stood at a distance and dared not even lift his eyes to heaven as he prayed. Instead, he beat his chest in sorrow, saying, O God, be merciful to me, for I am a sinner. Jesus is still speaking here. He says, I tell you, this sinner, not the Pharisee, returned home justified before God. For those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. I thought that those two records just shed a lot of light on praying. I trust that we pray with a vision. You want to pray with a vision in your heart, not to mention desire and some other parts of that. In our minds and heart, when we speak to the Father, as told by Paul, if you can go to Colossians chapter 4, verse 2, as told by Paul in Colossians chapter 4, verse 2, it says, continue in prayer. What does that mean? Don't stop. Continue in prayer. If what you're praying for doesn't happen that instant, right then and there, don't blame God. It's not time. But you know what you do? You keep on praying. You keep on going to the Father with this faith, this believing in praying. And watch in the same with thanksgiving. That's what you do. You praise God and you thank him for his goodness. Verse 3, with all, praying also for us that God would open us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I, Paul speaking, I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. What a prayer. What a prayer. He could have prayed that someone took my clothes to the cleaners, or that someone tuned up my car, or attended my garden. No, he was wanting to speak on behalf of God and what was going on with the reality of Jesus Christ and the reality of the mystery. So, let's close in 1 Peter chapter 3, in the first part of 12. 1 Peter 3:12. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are opened unto their what? Prayers. Prayers. That's what God is listening to you and me. Our prayers, because he wants to talk with us, to help us, and to bless us. And he does. And he's shown that over and over again as we pray. In closing, one may ask, where do I start when it comes to praying? Fair question. Fair question. How about with a believing heart? And most definitely with a pure heart. That's a good place to start when it comes to praying. So let our Abba Father move his mighty arm for you and I as you and I share our hearts with his. Amen? Amen. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for giving us the opportunity to speak and talk with you in praying. Even if it's just sharing something that you've blessed our lives with, Father, nonetheless, we have that open line of communication with you. And you've given us that Holy Spirit within us so that when we speak in tongues, you understand our prayers. When we pray with our understanding, again, you understand our prayers. And Father, none other can give the answers that you give. So I ask, Father, that each one of us here call to our hearts and minds that when we pray, it's powerful. That when we pray, have great expectations because you are the Almighty God. And again, you created the heavens and the earth and all that is good in them for us. So we just thank you in his risen name, Jesus Christ. And they all said, amen. That's fellowship. Amen. So, sweetheart, it's all yours.